Are you doing the intro?
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Muscle and the Hustle podcast. This one should be it. Mickey's trying to keep me right because we're recording a couple back to back saying nothing because I'm away over Christmas. So, look, we have a guest because we have not been two useless bastards as usual when Mickey's half organized us. We have Caroline McKenna. And it's great to
returning
have
guest.
What?
Returning guest.
Yeah, I was going to say, we haven't had.
It's not too many, no.
I was going to say, most people usually have enough after the one. They won't come back. So look, it's one of these things. Well, me and you done the one in Victoria Square as well. It was quite good.
Yeah.
It was a very heavy one. It was probably the last
time. Wrapping coffee.
Yeah, I was going to say. Off. Everything's here. So I think this will be a really good podcast. We'll dive into multiple things. I think something that a lot of our listenership is obviously male. So I think some female perspective on some of the things we say would be really, really good. Because we're fucking lunatics. And then I also think perspective on the stigma around age, what you're doing with society is really good. It's just hate. We'll go through everything here. And I think there's something for everyone, no matter male, female, age. I think there'll be a lot of benefit here. And I would say with just an introduction to yourself, because I always find whenever people go, who are you? If you've listened to our podcast or you've been on my Instagram or Mickey's, there will be an overlap. And I think it's one of these things where anything you say, Caroline's a really close friend of mine, Mickey's, but through last year when I was struggling, she's been one of the people in my corner throughout, and you wouldn't see the transformation of me as a person over the last 12 months if you knew me prior. Without her, and I really do mean this, a lot of the wisdom, a lot of the help's been from there. So I want you to take any words that are given here with weight, that they really will make a big change in your life, because a lot of the perspective, a lot of the shift change I've got is from like one-to-one work we've done, and it's made a massive difference to me and honestly my whole perception, everything that's happened in my life. And I honestly can't thank you enough for that.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think that's a better intro than going, oh, tell everyone who you are, because anything she says I will fucking back, because it's living proof. So without further ado, I think one of the main questions I wanted to dive into was, we'll start off with, how was Australia? Because you're just home yesterday.
Yeah, well, thank you for that lovely intro. That was really emotional. Yeah, thank you. Sometimes I'm good at giving advice but not good at taking it, so I really appreciate those lovely words. Australia was amazing. You're the only two people in the world that I would come to see less than 24 hours after getting a flight. It was really good, but also a good eye-opener to the work that I've done on myself in the last year to realise that I'm really happy and content in my life back in Ireland. So it was a nice closing chapter to my life, because as you know, it's been a rough year comparing my life to there and comparing my life to people's Instagrams over there. So our cold water dips have been a massive help to me over the year, and I feel really happy and settled where I am in my life.
I think that is that's a very difficult stage to get at.
Yeah.
For anybody listening, I think this is something where if you are struggling to feel settled, because I've definitely been that individual that's always just more, what do you think's been the main thing that's made you maybe feel a bit more settled? Is it seeing that like the grass isn't greener? Like you were lucky enough to go back and go, like, because you obviously came home, and then you're like, whenever you come home, you're like, oh, did I make the right decision? And then you've got to almost go back, dip the toe and come home. And has that been what settled you, or do you feel like you knew the answer before you went?
Totally feel like the answer was always there. I think just even following on from listening to your own conversations previously, we chase happiness as a final destination, and it, like, I'll be happy when I get my own house, or I'll be happy when my business makes this amount of money or whatever. And as this year has gone on, I've realised that happiness is day-to-day life, and it's the little things, the small things like a routine, just being away for those 2 months will work, being out of routine, out of good habits, having my phone close to me. Those were all the things that were deteriorating my happiness, whereas I was basing happiness as a location or a great lifestyle or a great Instagram picture. And I suppose it was just solidifying what I already deep down knew, that happiness is the day-to-day life. Getting up, being able to have a cup of coffee with my family. You know, I might be living at home with my parents right now, but I would have seen that as a failure a long time ago, but I now see it as a blessing that I get that time with them. So it's just learning to appreciate the small things, and that's come from a lot of work of gratitude lists, morning dips, routine every day, and being around good people. It's been a big year of learning those things the hard way and removing a lot of toxicity and stuff like that.
And do you have going, I haven't asked you this either, what is, because obviously this will come out just before Christmas, do you have like an idea of what, not the focus, but what you want for the year ahead? Like, do you have that? Like, do you, like, for you, if you're planning on being home now and that sort of whole perception of being away, is it completely settled here, or is there going to be traveling, or what? What's the year looking like? Does it fucking light you up?
Yeah, I think I'm learning to. I was chasing happiness in every location, but in Ireland, even this year, it's been a very, very busy year. But I'm really looking forward to just trying to take what I've learned from my traveling over the years and implement that into kids and education. And that's where I'm going with my life in terms of opening up a tutoring centre in a couple of weeks, and a mental health facility. So that's the goal. But
more mission based, more fulfillment based than, so you're like, as I said in one of the prior ones, one of the words I love that I got lately was reflection, like inflection, you know, like looking inwards as your sign of like happiness, contentment. And I feel like it's one of these things where like it's so easy for us to get caught up in the comparison, especially Christmas. Like, you're gonna see all the photos of everybody's happy family. You're not gonna see, like, we always upload Christmas photos, you know, happy Christmas, and I mean there's fucking murder in my house. Like, fucking death, because you're like, the dinner was supposed to be out at fucking 3, it's 5 o'clock, I'm fucking starving, why is there no slur, who's drank all the fucking. And it's one of the things where there are the things that are great and you have a laugh at after. But then you're also like, you know, shit hits the fan. But I like that because it shows, like, for me, it shows full circle. And I feel like it's like whenever people go, I think this is a really good thing, and I don't always love saying this, but it's like when people go, I used to always think when people go, money won't make you happy, I'd be like, yeah, dead on, because that cunt's fucking loaded.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's fucking easy for you to say. And the thing is, whenever I done financially well and drive the house, like, I've done full circle, I go, fuck, that is true. Like, I go, that done absolutely deadly for me. Now, does it remove stress? Does it make you a wee bit more content? Yeah, obviously fucking, like, would you rather be broke and be not have to work, or Joe be broke and fucking, like, need to work? Joe, you know, there's a balance. But it's one of the things where when you go full circle, then you can actually do it. It's like whenever somebody says, like, you need to hit rock bottom, or you need to actually burn your hand to realize you shouldn't touch the bed. For me, I needed to plug my insecurities with money, muscle, followers, to then realize and go, oh, that didn't fix it, I need to do the deep work. I would never learn that way. And I think that's maybe the same with, like, as you're saying with Australia, like the location thing, you have to move around and realize, like, oh, over time, because I've been like that, I've been chasing around the world, whereas now when I move around the world, it's actually because I'm actually like, who can I meet and make an impact on, and I'm bumping into people now, and I'm getting connect with different individuals around the world that I would have never got before. So for me now, the traveling is like an inward process rather than like a, where is better, where is going to be the best place for me to set up, because location's what's going to make me happy. I need sun, I need this, I need that. Whereas I'm like, the only reason I'm moving right now is because I'm like, well, I don't want to be like fully locked in one place, because I feel like I can give more to around everyone. Enjoy, you get different experiences. Yeah. It's a wee bit different in the sense that I find it quite interesting with the Australia thing. And they talk us through the business setup. Like, what inspired that? That's a good question.
So
you can rate my questions.
I am a teacher, and I've always had a passion and love to help kids. I've found, no matter, you know, where I work and all the rest, it's always been a very hard sell to try and look after kids outside of just the lessons in the classroom, in terms of limited resources, limited time myself, because you're under pressure, and only having 30 kids in front of you and you want to help 300. That's where the podcast stemmed from, where I was like, you know, I'll not be able to teach every child, but maybe someone can listen to this podcast when they're struggling, or they're feeling low, or they've gone through a breakup. So that's where all of that started. But as time has gone on, and coming back to the whole being happy, I've got more than I ever expected out of this, which is the podcast, the following. It's now a full-time career, which is amazing. But in between that, I've lost connection. I work for myself, as you know, and you know, like, it can be quite nice late in time where you're so focused on your careers and your goals that you mightn't talk to anybody all day, or you've no time frame, you've no staff room just to, like, you know, bounce ideas off people, because you are your own boss, you're your own staff. So I miss that connection, I miss that fulfillment in actually helping a child in person. It's lovely getting the lovely messages online, but I miss that day-to-day.
When you actually see the difference you're making, you physically see it, it's like, you know,
like
you
donating to a charity and then actually seeing the fucking charity getting the water.
Or it's like donate, when you give your time to someone, says tutoring them for an exam, and then they pass the exam. It's different than just like someone like sending you a message going, oh, I really like that post, or really like the podcast.
Yeah.
And you hope at the bottom of your heart that it's really helped them. But if you actually feel someone's seen a physical change, like, I can only imagine what it's like, because I used to coach young boys in football, and like, I took the 6-year-old, 7-year-olds, they couldn't even solo ball. When you taught them how to solo ball, you were looking at them going, fuck, you know, that's fair play to them. And you're kind of, you know, you're buzzing off that. I can imagine that's what a, like a when, especially with teachers that go with the same group of people from say P1 to P7, and you see them turn into young people instead of babies and kids. That would be my, that like, I, as soon as you said that, I was kind of thinking that's, I never actually thought of it that way.
Mm.
But that's what I would actually, if it was, that's what I was going to do.
What do you, like, obviously you've taught in schools and you probably, obviously would probably be more connected with the youth than I actually would, to be honest. Like, don't get me wrong, in a sense of like the age and what you see going on in clubs.
Yeah.
Because like, drugs are rife, don't get me wrong. I'm not going to turn this into, don't do drugs, don't do drugs. But a case of, what would you say is the main pitfalls you see in like a, wouldn't like for, you're probably, what's the youngest our listenership's going to be, like 18?
17, 18, no.
Yeah, like I think that's a good thing for like, if you've ever, for mainly men, females, like what do you think is the main pitfalls you fall into without realizing? Now, you need these pitfalls to learn, but also if you can avoid one or you want more. For me, it was obviously, you know, like there's issues with drink and drugs and yeah. all that. But for yous, what would you lean towards? Like you're obviously probably seeing it quite a bit. Is there something that comes straight to mind?
For university, it's,
I think... Well, I know people are so afraid of looking bad now. Like in any facet, they're getting caught in someone's Snapchat, a video going up, just look. They're more worried about other people's perception of them rather than who they actually are. Like even there, like some of our gigs, like I would play gigs with certain people and they go, oh, it's not that busy. Do you think that looks bad on us? You're like, it's a fucking Tuesday.
How do you break that down though? Like, how do you get over that?
Well, you get over it when you realize that it doesn't matter what people think of you. You know, it matters what you think of yourself. And everybody, if somebody wants to think negative about you, you can't control that. Like even there, like I was speaking to a girl on Tuesday evening. She was a student and she was saying, I didn't realize who she was, but she said that a couple of years ago, a video got out of her. And I didn't see no video. I didn't know who she was at all. She was actually, I think she's a girl actually from your neck of the woods. And she was saying like, she wasn't going to go to uni because of it. And I was like, why? And she goes, because everybody's seen that video. And I was like, and did it matter in uni? Has anybody said anything? And she goes, nah, I don't think so. And I, but people know. And she's like, oh yeah, like everybody knows. But she goes, like, it's just me in my own head.
Mm.
You know, I was more worried about what they were thinking rather than what I was going to do. And I was like, you were going to give up education for that? And she was like, oh, 100%. Mm. And I was like, fuck. And there was part of me, like, I was absolutely bollocks drunk, right enough. But there was part of me thinking to myself, that's so fucking sad that you would probably give up, I don't know what she's doing in uni, your career or your future career because you were worried about what other people would have said about you when you were, like, 16 or 15.
But I guarantee you, would you say this, before I dive into this next point about, see, that relates, though, to people that, this sounds terrible, but are 33 and are in a marriage or a relationship for 8 years and don't want to break up because they've got a kid. And it's like the perception, what other people will say, or it's, even though you're like, well, no, it's not fully with that, but that is something that is just chirping at you, or you won't leave the job, or you won't start a new hobby, or because of what your somebody else will think about it, or what your view on that is through somebody else's. Joe, you won't start BJJ, we were talking about that before the podcast came on, because you're like, I don't want to look silly.
Mm.
And it's that perception of, but to who? And would you, and then we'll obviously look back at it, would you say the main issue, that would be something that you would see massively as well, is like the validation for others? Because I feel like that was bred into me.
Mm.
Yeah.
I feel like that Instagram, it like breeds in, like, and I'd be lying if I didn't say, like, I, like, don't get me wrong, I view the reels and I'm like, yeah, I'm working for the algorithm, but I'd be lying if I didn't turn around and be like, when I post up a picture and it gets 20,000 likes now, I'm not like, oh, that's fucking awesome. I'm like, Joe, you'd be lying if you didn't say you were validated through it slightly. And I'm sure you feel that as well. And to an extent with... like,
no, I kind of got away from it when I started releasing music. And I at the start, when I released music, I was like a slave to the streams going, fuck, that's only done like 20,000 plays or 30,000 plays. And I was going, fuck, but that other song, this guy's done this. And I then started realizing that it's just, in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't really matter.
Do you think that comes with age?
I think it comes with wisdom. It comes with a wee bit of wisdom. It comes with the fact that you just realize that you're in control of your own outcomes, you're in control of yourself and other people's views. Like, I'd have, people might think I'm a dick, people might like me, but in the grand scheme of things, the only people that really matter is your friends.
Mm.
No, like, I had a guy the other day, was like, oh, he goes, you've a woman, don't you? And I was like, no. And he goes, what age are you, 38? And he went, I was like, what the fuck was that noise about? And he was like, geez, lad, you don't want to settle down. I was like, I'll settle down when it's right.
Yeah.
And I was like, I could have probably settled down a few times, but looking now, I was fucking smart. And he was like, Aye, you know what? You're probably right. But I was in my head, I was thinking,
that's society norms pushed on you.
But that wee noise that he made, I was like, fucking howl up here, we said.
Do you get that?
I get that a lot since coming back to Ireland. In Australia, I didn't have that at all because there's a real Peter Pan syndrome where you never grow up.
Yeah,
but it's because you're in an Irish community. In Australia, though, that's why the Peter Pan syndrome.
Yeah.
Whereas if you were like a normal Australian,
100%.
I wonder would it be. And I also feel like people feel like they can say that.
Yeah.
Like, old school Irish people used to be a thing in Ireland where you had to be married by 25.
Mm.
But now if someone got married at 25, people are like, fuck, you're well young to get married.
I talked to my sister about it and she was like, when you hit 30, it's like all of a sudden somebody turns around and goes, you've a clock.
Mm.
And it's like
people say that, but you really don't.
You don't, but it's one of them things where she was like, me and her talked about it in depth and I was like, does it feel like a little bit of a weight? And she's like, yeah, you can definitely feel it. And I was like, that's very interesting because obviously as a male, you'll not get that. But I feel like that can be a perspective on a lot of things. Joe, like if all your friends have girlfriends or
yeah.
Joe, if everybody's going to university and you're not, it's like keeping up with society norms. Do you notice that with like, obviously you get quite a large amount of hate like I do online, but it's one of the things where for me, it's like not keeping with society norms. Has that led you to be, do you think that's led you to be happier than most people at your age? I know not happier, but more content. I don't like saying like you versus somebody else. But I would definitely say you're a more content individual than most.
It's taken a lot of work. Like on my 20, I was 29 turning 30 the next day. And I remember going to bed that night and I just burst into tears. And at this stage, I was in Australia, had my life together, had a boyfriend beside me. And I just cried myself to sleep because it's like your sister says, it's literally this weight comes over you. Like I don't have it all figured out. When you're younger, you think as a woman, by 27, I'm going to have the house, the kids, the nice husband and the dog. I think what's changed for me is that it was putting pressure on my relationships, like that whole leading up to 30 where the relationship that I had to be in, it had to work. And I was having these serious conversations way too early on in the relationship about what's your 5-year plan? What do you want to do? And the results have been terrible because I'm single. So I realized that like, that's not working, well. Do you know? Yeah. And I just let go. And when I let go, and it's taken a lot of work, and there is that odd bit of time in your head where the thought will come in of like, Jesus, like, what if you actually don't meet someone? Or what if you leave it too late to have kids? But I have to do that inner work like daily of, you know, let go and let God. I always say, let go, let God. And yeah, I've just let it go. But you do get a lot of hate online. There was a video I put up about being in my 30s, choosing to travel the world, choosing to be single, because that's another thing. It's not like I'm sitting here going, I can't get a date. I don't want to go on dates. I'm really content with where I'm at in my life right now. And the amount of men that gave me abuse under it, being like,
seriously?
Oh, like, you know, you clearly can't get a man. Your eggs are clearly infertile, like horrendous things, you know.
Sorry,
and I was like I know
people.
I am so fertile.
If you're triggered by something like that as a male, like say for example, if you're, I always say this, like if you're a young male or you're even, no matter who you are, if something triggers you, there's truth in it. That's what the most annoying thing. So see when a male's leaving a comment like that, you're triggering them because that offends their beliefs. It's like a really good thing is like just because somebody is Protestant, I'm Catholic, doesn't mean we automatically dislike each other. If you do automatically dislike me, it's because your self-worth is so underpinned in that belief that anything against it fractures you as a person. It's like, for example, the same with like, if somebody wants to do a different style of training plan than I do, doesn't mean I have to dislike you. It means if you want to stay single and I want to be married with 5 kids by the time I'm 30, that shouldn't trigger me unless I've wrapped up my identity in that and my self-worth is based on this ideology of what is perfect. Now, don't get me wrong, there is individuals where married, 2 kids by 30, 95, perfect, they're happy, there's nothing wrong with it. That's fucking class. But then there's other individuals where they feel that pressure, so then you'll also almost not rebel against it, but you'll almost be like, feel like you're getting squished. It's like a round peg going in a square hole, isn't that the
rule?
Yeah.
Square peg going in a round hole, that's there we go, watch it that. And it's one of the things where I feel like it's really nice and refreshing to see that, because there'll be the person that is, that's hitting home with, won't say, they probably won't message you and go, oh, that felt great, because they'll get the value from it and go, whereas you'll get the trigger point. And I always find that the more you're triggering an individual, the more they're going to benefit in the long run, because even if they can challenge themselves, and usually you'll notice that, like, the biggest pitfalls in your life or the biggest blind spots, whenever somebody challenges it and you're triggered by it, they're usually the area that needs the most work, or it's going to come back to bite you in the arse. And I'd say that's where, for example, a really good example is, like, for young people that usually are having problems like drugs or drink or scrolling. If somebody says to you, get off your phone, and you're triggered,
yeah,
it's because you know you're on it too much. Because I used to be the same. Yeah. You're like, I'm not even on it that much. Sure, just lock it and put it down.
Yeah.
And that's when you're annoyed, because they've caught you red-handed, and your only route is defense. It's like and that's how you know that you're off base. It's like in a relationship. Like, I have a friend, and they've got this really good rule, and I think it's absolutely unreal. And I think it's definitely gonna go into mind. And if you have an argument, you're not allowed to bring up anything outside the argument point. So say, for example, we're arguing over, you know, we're going somewhere or whatever, and you've been lazy cunt. I'm not allowed to turn around and go, well, you done this 5 months ago or last week, because that's not what you're arguing over.
Love that.
Yeah, I think that's really, really good. And not say who it's from, but a case of, the point is then, you're fucked then, because you can't go on the defense, because you don't have any fucking rocks to throw back, because they've caught you. And then the beauty of that is, it means everything that comes up, you're not allowed to sweep it under the carpet, because if you sweep it under the carpet, there is no carpet. You're sweeping it away, and you're not allowed to use it. And whenever you realize you can't use it, you'll actually turn around to the person, call them on their bullshit there and then. You know what I mean? And I think that's actually a really good metric. Would you say drugs, self-validation for your version, phone use is probably the three main things, or would you say there's anything else that comes to mind?
There's a massive one that comes to mind that a lot of people aren't aware of, in terms of teenagers. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, like, just in general. Like,
people that, things where anxiety and stuff's coming in. We're finding that, unfortunately, kids are accessing porn from the age of 8. And what stems from that is...
Holy fuck.
Yeah. So we've had, like, lawyers come into our school to talk about consent, because these kids are unaware of what a true meaningful relationship is. So, you know, they're having a partner and doing crazy shit.
Sex is getting younger then, like,
it's getting younger and getting violent and not realizing
what the average age is now. The average age, whenever I would say that whenever I was, like, I was late, so I was probably around 18, 19. I don't know if you two want to say or not, but for me, it was one of them things where I felt very late to the party. And that was then. So I can only imagine, like, It has to be like 15 or something. It has to be something really stupid.
I think it's lower. I think it's 11 to 13.
I didn't even know where my cock was. 13. I'm not even mad. I know. I'm not even so,
I had my first kiss at 13.
Yeah, that's right. I don't even think I had my first kiss at 13. Jesus.
I couldn't even tell you. It's the truth.
I think that's very interesting, though, because then we've talked about that in other podcasts. Yeah. We've done ones on porn. And I think that's toxic, because it's warping your reality without you realizing what it's doing, and it becomes a habit and routine, and then you don't need to go out and talk to a woman, because you can just load it in your phone.
Yeah.
I find all that so interesting. That, like, because I fell down that rabbit hole when I was like 16, 17, like, that's the first place you go. I don't care what anyone else says. Like, men will be, they'll not admit that, but that is usually 9 times out of 10 where the first place they'll go.
And that's not just stemming from, like, young girls feeling like no self-worth. It's also young boys thinking that that's how you're meant to be in a relationship and be with a woman, and they get themselves into tricky situations. It's a bit like what you were saying about that girl at university, but instead of the first kiss or the first date or, you know, the first bits or whatever you want to call it, these people are taking nudes of themselves, these young kids, and they're sending them, they're going into group chats because young boys think that's what you're supposed to do, and they're creating this crazy mad dilemma and monopoly effect very, very quickly, where these kids, they don't know any different, and that's where the anxiety comes in, the depression, not wanting to go to school. So it's little things like that, as well as comparison syndrome, to they're following people online like Kim Kardashian and Kylie Jenner, and that's what I see in my students, is that they want to grow up and be an influencer or YouTuber. Like, the kids don't want to be teachers anymore or lawyers, and not that there's anything wrong with that, but they're wanting to do this because they think that that's how you be happy, is by being beautiful.
It's because the lifestyle is portrayed. I think that's something I've noticed massively when people coming into coaching now, and this is me.
See with
the people that apply, sometimes I go to them, why do you want to join? And it's don't get me wrong, now we only accept certain individuals, but there was a large amount, especially around last year, where we were getting it. We didn't take on anybody for about 4 or 5 months, because Stephen was doing calls and going, why do you want? And they're like, go on, make way more money. And I was like, why? And travel. And I was like, why? Want to live in Dubai? And I'm like, don't get me wrong, I do all that. But the thing is, I didn't start off wanting to do that. Whenever you focus on solution, you focus on helping people, you'll be rewarded tenfold. And the only reason we don't isn't because, don't get me wrong, everybody wants to make more money, everybody wants to travel, everybody wants that fulfillment life. But the thing is, you get paid directly in proportion to the problem you solve, and you won't solve a big enough problem if you don't have a big enough reason.
Yeah.
The thing is, I always want to help who I was 3-4 years ago. You'll always hear me talk about that. So I'll always get paid in retrospect to that, because my problems seem to be getting worse and worse and worse as time goes on. So then I'm solving bigger problems. But I think it's one of them sense of when it comes from a good place. And I find it very, very interesting whenever that's warping reality, because I think I would probably be a guilty party to that without realizing. But it's one of the things where you have to realize what people are doing. Like, people don't realize this. If you follow me on social media, notice how all my stories are uploaded at the one time, because I don't use social media for the whole day until from 4:30 or 5:00 until 1 or 2 p.m. And then I usually video bits and pieces and do whatever. And then I upload all the stories in one go. And you'll be like, that cunt's got morning, evening, night all up in one go. Because I'm like, I'm not on this. It is marketing. That is what people are doing to you without you realizing, whether you realize it or not. Everything, every post is subconscious. Everything is actually a tool like that. And the thing is, don't get me wrong, it's not like you're manipulating, but it's one of the things where I am not spending about all day on a moped in Bali. I'm fucking working my ass off in a wee office, but I'm not going to video that because that's not aesthetic. Don't get me wrong, it's still, like, I still love the life, it's still the job. I'm not trying to talk down, because people sometimes be like, oh, I hate that one, or you see traveling's not all it's made out to be, and you're like, fuck up, mate. I'm fucking working in a fucking slave job here. Yeah. And Joe, it sounds so condescending then, so it's not like that, but you get my idea of the warped reality. But I think you fall into that. Like, I fell in that, and I'd have to chase that, because you don't realise anything as well.
I've noticed you doing that in your stories, and I love that, you know, it's all in one burst, and I do try and implement that at times, and you can be so good at it. But the difference is that we know, like, the difference in what's real and what's not, whereas these kids have always grown up with a phone. My niece is 8 months old, and she can hold an iPhone and scroll. And it's, I ain't got scary. Metal. We've seen her holding them. Now, this child can't speak. She can't say dada, mama, but she can hold an iPhone and scroll. And we're like, you know, this is all they've known. We're at a stage where we know, right, this is not good for us. We also know what really matters in life. We might get sucked into it at times, but these kids genuinely think that this is all that matters. It's like when you're in school and you think if you have an argument with a mate that it's the end of the world, because that is your world. This is their world. So that's what I'm trying to bring into this tutoring centre. Yeah. And just touching on that point about you saying you go into this for the right reasons. This centre that I'm opening, you know, you don't go into it to make money. It's to actually help kids. And if anything, it's going to take away from all the other stuff that I'm doing. But it matters because it's important. This is our future. This is our kids. We're in a big mess here with this.
Do you think, we'll obviously do things, but do you think that this relates into the real question I want to dive into? So I think this is a really good topic. Do you think over time, people's, like, social skills for dating as a man to female is going backwards to an extent? Not backwards, but in a different direction. Because I feel like now, immediately, like, whenever I went single straight away, people were going to me, have you downloaded Tinder? Have you downloaded Hinge? Have you downloaded Bumble? I didn't even know I didn't know what Hinge was. And it's one of the things where it wasn't, have you been talking to anyone? Have you asked somebody? It's like, have you downloaded these apps? Do you feel like, as a... Like, because me and you're both single, like, we're all single, but, like, how often do you see somebody get asked out in person, or how often do you see, like, would you get asked out in person much?
Never.
But the thing is, I don't think that's just you. Like, yeah, but I don't think that's just you, because whenever I talk to men, because people would ask me about it, even though, like, worst person ever to ask it. And I'd be like, when's the last time you had a conversation with a random female out and about? Just sharpen the tools. Me and Ryan McDonald talk about this, just actually having conversations. Do you know what I mean, though? And the thing is, it's so rare. And I've asked loads of people this. Like, I remember whenever I used to be in a relationship, I used to ask, there'd be single friends of hers, I'd be like, good luck on what? I'd be like, when's the last time you got asked? And she'd be like, never. And I'd be like, who the fuck's not asking?
People are afraid of rejection. Like, that's the big thing. Fellas are shit scared of rejection.
Yeah.
And then
I think girls, but there's the whole thing about, what's that? No lady, no like. I think we've talked about it before. There's a reason that the girls are in the decision making until the very end, because they don't. If that was a fella and there was a girl putting herself out there right in front of them, they reject. They tried to do it in the pilot, know, the fellas come down the lift and the girls, so the girls have the opportunity to start to take themselves out of the running.
Yeah.
They tried to pile it the other way and they couldn't get contestants through because they were like, oh, I'm not fucking standing here and letting these boys judge me.
Do you think the reason that it's happening less and less now is because not just social media, but I think this is a good point as well. I think people's confidence is so fragile that they'd rather not take the gamble and ask because one hit will feel like the end of the world and they've only got this little bit of false confidence.
But like, that you probably have done this. Someone, you've met someone on a night out and then you go home and you realise they've texted you going, really good to meet you. And then they'll say someone forward, like, I think we should go out on a date instead of like, when you said 10 minutes ago and I was fucking chatting to you.
Yes.
Like, yeah. I get that a lot.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, I don't have the confidence then. But you're full of confidence in texting. But it comes down to, I think, people's personal skills are really poor because you live your life on your phone.
Mm.
I think even if you would, like, if somebody's to ask you out in person, I think this is good because if you're a male and you're listening and you're single, or even if you're in a relationship, you'll take value from this. But I think that's going to be, even if you're not a good looking fella, you feel like you fuck all going for you, planning, and you have the balls, I think that stands out immediately because you're like, one, it also gives the other person a confidence boost that they're going to probably want, no matter how good looking,
how strong,
and perception of beauty, perception of what somebody looks like is completely individual biased. You're like, who you find good looking, who I do. Yes, there'll be common denominators usually, Joe. Yes, we all agree this person, but types. And I think as a male going up to a female, do you feel like it would be like awkward, or do you feel like, do you know what I mean? Like, it's one of the things where nowadays, because it, like, whereas in my mum and dad's day, you wouldn't have got a date if you didn't go up and ask. Would you ask a male out? I'm curious on that.
Have you ever asked a male out?
No, never. Interestingly, I think it would be lovely for a guy to come up. I think there's something really lovely about that.
Yeah.
But I think it needs to be done in the right setting where, say, for example, I like to be, I don't want to get asked out in a bar where they don't know who I am, they don't know my name, and they come up and say, can I take you out some night? You're like, why?
And if
why
do you want drunk,
you don't know anything about me. Like, I would like to have seen that person a couple of times at the gym, or like had a chat with them in the coffee shop, or, you know, just in passing. Like
passing, I think, is the key. Like, for example, I said I'd do 12 months without, you know, women, but I've still put in I know that sounds nuts, but a case of that's pretty much up now. Because I've asked somebody out in person just to get a rep in, like, and it wasn't but it wasn't a case of like, this sounds terrible, but it's a case of I've done it two or three times and I was like, asked them out, waited for the reply, and I was like, that's dead on. I've also swore off women because somebody said yes and I was like, off, pay them. Because I was like, I've also,
you gaslit her.
I was like, I've got a year like where I'm holding out, so I was like, it's only like, you know, a couple of weeks. But they also looked at me like, what the fuck have I agreed to? This is fucking bonkers. But a case of...
So you were mad.
Yeah, no, but the thing is as well, I done it though because I was like...
Yeah.
It's not... If you've not done that in a long time, you've not walked, you've not asked somebody. And the thing is, it's like a... It's a weird conversation if you're not used to, because you're like...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because I'm going to be honest, like, I would stand in the street in my cacks for a real, no issue at all. Like, I stood in Tesco the other week and, yep, my videographer, Joseph, turned around to me and goes... And I goes, what do you think? And he goes, I was... If we weren't in Tesco, I'd tell you to probably get in your boxers. And I was like, should I get my boxers? And he was like, fuck off. And I was like, well, and he was like, I can't believe you're going to do this. Now, we didn't do it because he was like, I'd probably get fucking, Joe, you could fucking throw in jail. But a case of, I found that outside my comfort zone, right? Because I was like, oh, this will be easy. And when I went to do it, I was like, oh, I'm actually feeling like I felt my heart rate go. But the thing is, then the first person versus, say, the next person, it'll get easier. But then I think, it also stands out because I remember I asked the person, goes afterwards, and I goes, when's the last time you got out? I'm just curious as well. When's the last time you got out? She goes, like, years.
Yeah.
And the thing is, very good looking woman, like in my opinion. But it's saying, I was like, that immediately, like, I butchered the way I done it too. Like, I butchered it. Like, it was not
mumble good. Job.
No, it wasn't mumble. It was just worded really poorly. Like,
say, tell us.
No, next podcast.
I want to hear
this.
I'll
tell you off. I'll tell you off. And the thing is, but then I goes, but the first thing I addressed was then I was like, afterwards I was like, I bet you, man, like, I was like, I just know it'll stand out, because I was like, in my head, I was like, not most people have the nuts to ask. Even if it goes poorly, I will be stood out. And the thing is, the odds of me getting a date with this person go from zero, because if I don't ask, I never get, to at least there's a shot. And the thing is, like, that, not being confident, but like cocky, but like, that pretty much will happen if I want it now. And it's one of the things where that, even though it didn't go any way I planned my head, because I just was like, I'm gonna go for this. But do you feel like, as a Neil, not walking up, but in passing rate. So that's a good cue. So obviously, not breaking the ice to some extent before you go in for the kill, number one.
Yeah.
Then I feel like if you're going on a date, what is like dinner's too much first time?
Yeah.
Right. So that's a really good one because I see that all the time. Like, I love food. Like, but like, yeah. I think a breakfast date could probably be like food or a walk or.
I think, yeah.
What would be an ideal? Like,
I would love. I think for most girls, what they want is one that's got nothing to do with drinking on the first date. And that's not from personal experience. That's from after a couple of drinks, like we may have all been there where you mightn't really know if you like them. And after a couple of drinks, you think, oh, you're actually starting to look a bit all right. Or I go home with you, like not even looks wise, but you mightn't be getting on that. Like it could be dead chat. So I think the best way, and I think a lot of girls in my age, especially just like going for a coffee and a walk, started off like that. I'm a bit extreme. I would be like, do you want to go for a dip? Because I think, fuck it, like you may as well get to do the same things.
You want
to
see them in the
jacks? Yeah, like may as well get to know each other, no makeup, just going, something like that I think is really, really cool. I don't like the extreme things. I think dates are lovely, but I think that comes with, like dinner dates come with
that's
being like a relationship.
Kind, I think as well, one thing, like don't get, please correct me, because like my views are going to be so like, one-sided.
He's
so
gonna say hot air balloon first date or something.
No fuck. out my back. I assume that the male should take the lead at the start and not go, what would you want to do, or like give options. It should be like, you hop in off to do X at this like outlined. I don't know if that's just me. I would feel like, not that I want to do that, but I'm just like, the man, in my eyes, I still feel like the man should lead to some extent. Now, you can be led if the woman wants to go, no, I'd rather do this, that's fine. But a case of, to some extent, I think that...
Yeah, I think girls find it very attractive. And I do, especially when a guy says, right, I've actually organized for us to do this, or this is what I want you to do. We're going to go here on Saturday, or I've booked us a wee table for coffee here, whatever.
Yeah.
I think that's really nice. And I know you and I have spoken about this before, and I want your opinion on this. I was a bit like you, where I hadn't dated for a year nearly, and went out on a few dates. And I want your guys' opinion on this, because this is a really unattractive trait to me. But I was dating a guy for a couple of weeks.
This is good.
And Tony knows this story, but it was...
I was just like, this is
good. No. No, you actually do know, because I've told you on my dips. But I was dating a guy and he kind of sold me the dream, because this is why I don't go on apps anymore. On Tinder, he looked the part in terms of looks, lifestyle, traveled a lot, just came home from traveling the world for a year, lived in Dublin, CEO of a company, got his shit together. I was like, attractive, sexy, love it. We only went on like say 8 dates over 8 weeks because I travel a lot, but every date I picked up the bill, and it got to the point,
that's mental,
like he just didn't like, now this boy told me how much money he was worth, which did not attract me, because I was like, I don't like, I've got my own shit together. Yes, you've got your shit together, but stop telling me how much your family are worth. But I think he was trying to impress me. He drove a good car, but he never, like, you know when you go to like tap for the bill, I get really awkward and I always just want to pay.
Yeah.
But he never ever stopped me. He just like kind of would slowly take his phone out and let me reach for it every time.
No, I always.
What's your opinion on that?
No,
I'll always. I'm very old school. If there's any girls listen, they know, they kind of probably know. I will always pay or try to pay, and I'll go to the point of, if they even took their card out on the table, you know, before they tapped it, I'd take the card off and put it in my pocket to make sure I can pay. And that's just the way I was raised to do anything. No, sometimes they'll go, right, but I have to let me pay the next time, and I'll lie to them, go, oh yeah, you can pay the next time. Same thing again, I'll always make sure, or I'll go to the toilet early, tap the bill,
away.
But if you went 8 dates...
Well, that's it. And me, I'm all about fairness. Like, I would say, like, split the bill any other time. But when it came to every date, I was like, it was the reason I ended up finishing things with him, because I was like, you're actually not attractive.
It's very strange behavior. Never mind, not fair behavior. It's very strange behavior, which I would say that's the tip of the iceberg, where there's probably other weird
things. Number one as well, if you ask any individual out, you've offered to pay. You've asked them out. You've asked them for their time. It's like whenever I ask my mum and dad and my sister and all go out for a meal on a Thursday, and I ask them, go out, I usually, like, I'll pay. Like, I'll go up to pay. They want a chip in the account, but I've asked them out.
Yeah.
They've went out of their way. And for me, like, I don't know whether people will go against this or not. in relationships and everything. Now, I believe as time moves on, maybe as the years roll on, the relationship split of payments probably goes more 50-50. For me, like, I'm not going to dive in it. I just pay for everything. Like, I just don't. Yeah. It's not a case of, it morally feels like if I go, it's like a reflex for me. And yeah. that for me, it would be the more of a, it wouldn't be the fact he's not paying. It's the morals and the values and what he's taught that shows the character of the individual.
Yeah.
It's like whenever I say to somebody, do you find abs attractive? Like, do I find a woman from the gym attractive? I'm like, yeah, I find the body attractive. But I'm like, because it stands for discipline. It stands that she's in there. She probably doesn't drink as much. It's the character I like. And it's that sort of thing of, I think that's fucking nuts. If you're a dude and you're not paying for, and yeah. for me, like, don't get me wrong, I can understand. Say he's went in 48 and he's went in the fifth one. And I'm going to be honest, it was still a nice restaurant or something or whatever. Mm. Man still pays. I would let the person pick up without sounding cheeky. The shitty bill, you just go to fucking Nando's or somewhere yeah. that's cheap, and you're like, she's like, no, you paid for everything, and she taps, and you're like, right, dead on, your square, you pay for one, I'll pay for the next six then. That to me is just normality.
I don't even make it a thing. It shouldn't be.
Well, this is the dangers of the apps and why I've completely yeah. come off them, because he kind of sold me the dream, and I genuinely feel like I was dating the Tinder swindler.
It could have been. It could be just the tip of the iceberg.
And this wasn't, like, I'm not talking Nando's dates here. Like, with my work this year and traveling, this guy flew out to Manchester to me and to Italy. And like, these were dates where, like, I was paying for boat trips on the Amalfi Coast, like, where it was like €350 for the date. Do you know, like, this wasn't like, and then I would be like, well, look, I'll get this, you can book us another cool like trip while we're on this holiday, and the other trip never happened. Or it was just, and then it was the little bills, and it just kept building up, and I was like, am I miserable? Maybe I'm miserable. Maybe I'm not used to sharing my money with someone. But it was just like, it was all a lie. His whole story was a lie. Like, there was no way. Well, maybe he was who he says he was, but I ended the whole thing, deleted, blocked everything, because yeah. I was like, this is dangerous.
I feel like as a male, if you want to go on dates and that as well, I feel like if you feel the need to, like, if I had to go on a date and I had to bring up, like, what I do, and like, I make X and my family's worth this, and we go here in holidays, yeah. and I think that completely shows your lack of confidence, because it's coming from all these external variables. I think there's nothing more, I know it sounds odd, but like, for example, like, if I went on a date and Joe, the girl turned around, like, didn't say anything, and then, like, say five dates in, you realize, like, she's actually a really good singer or something, you know, she sings a wedding,
yeah,
so she,
yeah, that's post,
I find that really attractive, yeah, because they haven't felt the need,
yeah,
to gloat about it.
Well, yeah.
There's a balance, getting to know,
I left somebody off my Tinder that I was a DJ, and a girl called me out on it and says, why are you not telling people what you do?
And I don't connect, like, my Instagram, I was like
what? Yeah, same. No, but she, I just knew that from a picture, and she was like, what do you do for a living? And I said, and she goes, oh, I know. And she goes, but why didn't you write that in your bio? And I'm like, just didn't write it. And she was like, oh, what are you trying to hide, or have you got a girlfriend? I'm like, no. And she was like, and then she was, but she was being genuine. She goes, well, straight away, that's a red flag for me, because I think you're trying to hate someone.
Yeah, but the fuck off.
And I was like, I told her the reason I left it off. And she was like, oh, yeah, I get that. But she goes, I'm just saying, like, this has been screenshot.
Oh, she's a red flag.
Well, no, she was a clear red flag.
Do you feel like there's other red flags that men fall into about realizing very easily? Like, but I think here, there's the basics.
I think we need to wrap this and do a part two.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you some red flags really quickly, because this is really important. Empty promises. So say for, like, a guy will, one of the, like, the Tinder swindler said, I was for your birthday, I was going to get you this experience or whatever, but because you're going away, I thought you're too busy, I'll not book it. So he just got me like a few Maltesers and books and stuff. But Maltesers, it's the whole empty, it's the empty promises. It's like, don't tell me you're going to do something and then don't follow through. It could be a case of, I'm going to get you some flowers on the way home from work here, and you don't ever see the flowers, or let's go for dinner on Friday night to this Indian, and then run out of time. So guys, it just follow through, and girls prefer little things over big things. Like, they don't want the big massive celebrations.
I'll ask Dorgan's question.
Oh yeah, yeah, go.
Because Dorgan's got one question and then that's it. What failures are you most grateful for? So that's Daniel Dorgan's question left for Caroline. What failure or failures are you most grateful for? Light it up. That was the exact word for word.
Okay, this is an easy one. Relationship. Yeah. I would say the ending of a relationship, which at the time felt like a failure, and it's actually like, from the ashes rises the phoenix. Like, I think from the relationship breakdown, I actually have become a better, more focused person and exactly on the path I'm supposed to be on rather than the path I thought I had to be on, which was family, kids, house. My life has changed forever because of a relationship failure.
What do you feel was the catalyst that turned it from failure to success? Or do you feel like that just had to happen? Or was there something like inward reflection, or was there...
I think you have to go to rock bottom. Your breakdown is your breakthrough. And I was in rock bottom. If it was just a relationship where it was a breakdown and it was sad and you move on, fair enough. But this was, my whole world had fallen apart. My whole life turned upside down. I was 10,000 miles away from home. And it was either, right, get back on a flight back to Ireland and go back to mum and dad and cry into their arms, or prove people wrong, prove that you're here for you and leave a mark on this place before you leave. So yeah, I think that's
a really good note to finish on.
We're definitely like doing a part two.
Your breakdown to break through. I like that. That's a really good note, because I think there'll be somebody listening that needs that, and that goes for every area of your life. Whenever you feel like you're buried, sometimes you've been planted to grow, and I think it's very tough to see that because everything's covered in dirt and soil and darkness, and you don't realize where you'll go. It'll not feel like it's meant for you. It'll feel like the world's coming down, because that's happened to me last year. It's happened to you recently. So I think that's a really nice note to finish on as we push forward into Christmas. We hope you have a good Christmas, because it's coming out.
Merry Christmas.
Christmas about Monday.
There you go. Hard to beat.
Exciting. And thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you very much for coming on. We'll do a part two.
Shout out to Output.
Yeah, big shout out.
Buy some coffee.
Lisbon Road. Make sure to hit it up. Food is quality. Get the eggs, bacon, avocado, sour toast. Or no, sourdough. That was it. I can barely say it. Sour toast. That wouldn't be nice. thank yous for hosting us. The place is fucking cracking. And make sure to tune in the next one. And you usually say, make sure to
rate, review, and follow.
There we go. I always forget that. There you go. Boom. Thank you.
Thank you.